This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 655. Today we hear from Tim for the first Tim in a long time. For the first Tim in a while, yeah. Today we hear from Tim with a question on Tim management for the first Tim in quite a while. Time, Tim. I need a proofreader for my speech.
Proof speaker.
Anyway, Time asks.
If you have a lot of Tim to write.
Sorry. Don't you get started, too.
If you have a lot of time to write, how do you manage that for maximum effect?
I was faced with this as a major problem when I moved out of the city and into the ruralness of the Oregon coast a few years ago. I suddenly had nothing to do besides write and walk on the beach and unpack the house. And the first thing that got unpacked was the computer, and I was looking at the computer as if it was a stalking lioness who was intent on ripping my bowels out.
And this was before we got Trixie.
She wouldn't be a lioness. She'd be a wolf. Mm-hmm. She looks like a wolf. But I would look at the computer, and I would think of going over to work on it, and I'd be like, no. Can't do that. Nope. It was a thing, and the times I did try to sit down, I completely locked up, just like total vapor lock in the synapses, and I could not figure out why, because I had all the time in the world. Well, of course, the problem was I had all the time in the world, which meant I could do it any time, which meant I would do it no time, and I didn't have pressure on me of a constructive sort. I didn't have a window in which I had to write, so I didn't have to have the mental discipline to focus. It's a weird thing, but the right kind of constraints make all the difference. If you suddenly have a lot of time to write, and this is true actually with anything, is freelancers have this trouble when they go freelance first time. And once I realized that it was the same kind of trouble I was having when I first went freelance, things got a lot better a lot quicker because then I had something that lesson I could apply laterally to this new domain. The trick, as you've spotted, is structuring your time. So you need a few different kinds of things, and how much of each of these you need will depend on your individual psychology. You need some kind of schedule, windows in which you will write. You're going to do a shift here, a shift there, and in between the shifts you need to do something else. I recommend something physical, because that helps clear the head, wake up the brain, do good stuff, take a walk, do some high-intensity activity, go chase your dog because it ran away down the street, try desperately to interdict the wave of carjackings that's happening on your street corner, go across the street and work on seducing the 90-year-old retiree who you think is just kind of cute anyway. Whatever it is that floats your boat. You do that, and then you come back to the keyboard and you do another shift. Shifts of 1 to 2.5 hours, usually pretty good for me, depending. I can get locked in if I hit a groove. I just love it. I get locked in and go. But structuring your writing in shifts also is really good for helping to minimize RSIs, which is a huge health problem for writers. I've been fighting them since I was 20. I've been crippled a few times because of them, though thankfully I've never needed surgery. But you want to move around. So you do a shift, you go move around, you come back, you do another shift. However you do it, establishing a rhythm to your day, really important. Really helps. How much it will help you will depend a bit on your personality, and what your rhythm exactly will be will definitely depend on your personality. That's pressure kind one. Pressure type two is you need deadlines. The deadlines can be small. They can be, I have to write 1,000 words by the end of the day. I have to write 5,000 words by the end of the day. I need to finish this novel this week. I have to hit a once-a-month publishing schedule. Whatever it is, you need deadlines, even if only, as Douglas Adams said, to enjoy the whooshing noise they make when they go by. Having the deadlines helps you focus and gives a sense of purpose to what you're doing. And that is really difficult to achieve otherwise if you're basically just hanging around making stuff up. It's hard for hanging around and making stuff up to feel like it's important. Most people, even most marginally narcissistic, emotionally needy, fairly expressive people, I'm describing writers here, even most people like that don't really feel a solid sense of purpose when they're vomiting their brain guts all over the page. You need to have something that gives you that purpose, and contact with the outside world really, really helps. Deadlines are one of those contact with the outside world. Even though it's only the calendar, and maybe also the market, it really makes a difference because it adds a sense of reality to this dream world you're living in. Second kind of contact with the outside world are things like accountability buddies. Now I'm thinking of the accountability buddies from that cartoon. I can't remember. Was that South Park?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Must have been an episode of South Park. Feeling fairly punchy this morning. It's kind of nice. It can also come in the form of accountability partners, whether it's a group you meet with once in a while to check in, like the Dead Robots started out doing and still kind of do with each other as part of the show. Or whether it's like I used to have twice weekly walks with a couple of other writers and we would discuss business and check in on how our writing's going. Or if you've got a first reader who's banging down your door and demanding the next few pages of the book, or demanding the next short story, or demanding the next book. Anything like that that connects what you're doing to the outside world, to the calendar, to your pocketbook, to relationships, anything that does that will really, really help structure your time. The trick is not to let those things too far into the creative space so that they make you lock up. And again, that's going to depend a lot on your personality and on your state of mind. Some of these things, your tolerance for what kind of pressure you can do varies depending on the season of life you're in. Can you think of any other things that one can do to structure one's writing times, either things you've done for your art time or things that I've done that I'm not aware of? And so
I know quite a few people that are doing super short bursts of working time, and that may not be helpful if you have a lot of time. That seems to help people who have very limited time focus their limited time and do 15 or 30 minute writing sessions and whatnot. And that helps them focus when they have, say, a couple of hours after work or their commute in which to write.
Okay. So like Pomodoro style type of things? Okay.
And that also helps people who seem to be chronically unable to sit down at a computer without wasting time. So I guess it does work for me.
Yeah, the Pomodoro thing always struck me as weird because when I think of tomatoes in work, I think of people throwing tomatoes at me because they disapprove of my work. So I don't get why anyone would name a time management technique for artists and freelancers after the very thing that people throw at you when it's rotten and you suck. But that's me.
Maybe that's how long
it is. Oh, that's how long it is until the Pomodoros start flying at you.
Maybe.
Pomodoro is, what, Italian for tomato? Something like that.
I think it's a brand of canned tomato.
It's a brand of tomato?
I'm going to have to look at
it. If it's a brand of canned tomato, maybe it was a sneaky marketing ploy by the Pomodoro company. Want to do a task? Have a Pomodoro. It's like a V8, right? You crack open a can of crushed tomatoes and then chug it, and that gives you the energy to go for 20 minutes before you begin to feel awful about your life choices and contemplate suicide.
Okay. Pomodoro is Italian for tomato, and it came about because the person who invented it used a tomato-shaped kitchen timer. So if it had been invented by an American, it could have been the egg technique.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay, well, I think that about does it for that one then. Thank you very much, Tim, for your question on time management.
Time management.
Time. Thank you very much, Tim, for your question on time management. I have mentioned I'm dyslexic, haven't I?
Oh boy,
I think I need to go get some coffee or something. All right. Anyway, thanks. It's good to hear from you again. It's good to know you're still in the game. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.